8, Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Amen. Amen. It's time now for us to slow down and still our hearts before the Lord so we can hear what the Lord has to say to us. I know some of you already, even this day today, it's not been a day off for you. Had things to do, things to check on. You've kind of been in a rush, but you've made your way here to the house of the Lord, and we are thankful that you have done so. And so we're excited about what the Lord has in store today for us. And now we're going to look at a subject here that, of course, I've preached on many times, but each and every time it's always new to me, and it's a very relevant truth. Some things I think we need to glean from God's Word, Luke 8, verse 22. And I want you to think on this thought, steadfast in the storm. Steadfast in the storm. I certainly believe this applies to you and to me and to all of those around us today. But God's got a word here. If you could just for a little while, let's just be real. Let's just, lay down all of our pride and all of our, what we would call our reputation. And let's just be real before the Lord and see what the Lord has to say to us today from His Word, because I believe He's got a word for somebody here today. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. The Bible says this: "Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, He fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." You may be seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, we've preached many times on these storms and on storms of life. And listen to me, there's a couple of things you need to know. Number one is this, is that there is nobody alive on planet Earth, nor has there ever been anyone who has ever lived who has never experienced a storm in life. You need to remember that and write that down. But number two, also, you need to be aware that storms come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. There's little storms, and then there's larger storms. There's afternoon thunderstorms, and then there's hurricanes and tornadoes or typhoons. Or in the New Testament, we see there on the Sea of Galilee, the Mediterranean, we see a Euroclydon. It's a typhoon there in the Mediterranean Ocean. And so storms come in all sizes, big, little, small, and all of that. And every single person in this church has been through some type of storm. And here is the thing, and I've said this before, and I've always pointed out, that it has been said that you are either going into a storm or about to go into a storm, or you are in a storm, or you are coming out of a storm. And so that applies to everybody in this church this morning. There are some people here who I believe this message is for, that you are in a storm. You don't understand it. You don't like it. You hate it. It's miserable. You have more questions than answers, but you are in a storm. There's some people here this morning, you should have really, truly rejoiced as they sang that first song this morning, because you are now coming out of a storm, and you look back and you can say, boy, God has been so good. He has delivered me from the storm. And there's others of you here today, well, your mind is doing your Walmart pickup after service today. You're thinking about your to-do list right after we walk out of church. You're hoping I hurry up and I'm short-winded.
so you can get to your favorite fishing spot or to the golf course. I'll tell you a little something. Act like you're interested and act like the Lord's really using me, and I'll preach faster, I promise. If you look bored and you're distracted, I feel like I got to say everything all over again many, many times. But some of you, you're just here today and life is good, but you ought to be taking notes on everything that the Lord would say today because, well, you're about to go into a storm. It may be a week, it may be a month, it may be 1 year. And that brings us to this number one fact about being steadfast in the storm is this. I've discovered that you don't get to pick the storms. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice if we could? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a little foreknowledge and we knew what was coming? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a Doppler radar inside of us? And just like on WeatherBug on your phone, you can flip it up and pull up the radar and see exactly, really down to the minute as to when the storm is about to cross from Madison County right into Franklin County and right through our area. Wouldn't it be good if we could just look at a Doppler in our heart or in our mind or in our spirit and we could say, hey, there's a storm coming. It's this kind of storm. It's a snowstorm, ice storm, thunderstorm, tornado. And I'll be ready for it when it hits. I know the very hour and the very kind of storm. Wouldn't it be nice if life happened like that, but it don't. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord said to us, you're going to graduate college and you're going to get married and have a family. You're going to have children and a dog and a white picket fence, but when you're 35 years old, you're going to get struck with cancer. So be ready for that storm. Wouldn't it be nice if ahead of time the Lord would say, you're only 20 years old right now and you've got your life ahead of you, but you don't understand that when you get married, what's going to happen is your husband's going to leave you for another woman. You don't know this at such a young age in life with your whole life ahead of you, but you're going to find the man who you think's the man of your dreams, and he's not only going to run around on you, but he's going to abuse you physically. You're going to have some beautiful children, and that little baby you're bouncing on your lap, what you don't know that's about to come one day is that child's going to stomp all over your heart because they're going to, as they reach their teenage years and their early 20s, they're going to become rebellious, and they're going to become prodigal sons or prodigal daughters who's going to worry you in drug addiction and alcohol abuse, worry you until you'll almost die. But we don't get to pick the storms, and nor do we know what life holds ahead of us, do we? You don't know this, but one day you're going to get pregnant, you're going to be married and get pregnant, you're going to have three miscarriages before you're ever able to have your first child. Or you're going to have your first child, and that newborn is going to die while you're holding it in your hands. See, this has happened. This has happened to some people sitting in this church today. We had no warnings. We had no word that told us to prepare because this is what's going to go on. Nobody give us word ahead of time that, hey, a storm is coming and it's going to be like this and it's going to happen just exactly when this moment occurs and you're going to be ready for it and you know what to expect so you're off. No, storms don't happen like that. We don't get to pick the storms. Are you with me right now? I know rather quickly from the first point we've dove into something very deep. I understand that. The fact of the matter is that some of you right now are struggling with storms who in all of your life you never could have predicted that this would be happening to you. Some of you have come out of a storm, and you're looking back now and you're able to praise the Lord and you're able to be thankful and you're able to worship. But you're looking back now on a storm you've come through and never in your lifetime could you ever have guessed in your wildest dreams that that is the storm I would have had to walk through in my lifetime. You'd have never have guessed that. And some of you, life is as good as it's ever been and you see nothing but a bright, bright future. And I pray that for you and I wish that for you. But I know the reality of life. Life brings storms. And you're not going to be able to call it. And you're not going to be able to predict it. and you're not going to be able to choose it. Wouldn't it be good if we could choose the storms? But you're not going to be able to do that. It's going to happen. And life's not going to be as good as you thought it was for a while. So we can't pick the storms. But I want to tell you something else we can't do. Number two, and this is going to be real hard for some of you because it's hard for me, but you can't fix the storms. Because, see, some of you are fixers. You like to fix things. I think mamas are like that. I think daddies are like that. Not everybody's like that, but I do believe that a lot of people's geared that way. You just like to fix things. There's a problem, and you fix it. That's what my dad always did when we were growing up. He always fixed things. He could fix whatever was broke, particularly in lines of technology or electronics, things like that. I would sit beside him, and he'd take that device apart or whatever it may be, and he could fix it and put it all back together again. And some of us are like that. We're fixers. We just see a problem and we want to fix it. We want to make it work and we want to move on. But listen to me. There's storms that come into your life that you can't fix. That you can't fix. In fact, I want you to write this down. It's not your job to fix the storm. Because see, what happens is when storms hit our life, well, what we want to do is we want answers, and then we want to fix the storm. We want to focus on the storm, and we want to fix the storm. And see, that's exactly what the disciples did in this situation. The storm came. They are experienced sailors. I've told you this over and over. You could preach this very part of this sermon. They knew how to navigate in a storm. So they started doing whatever they had been taught and told to do. Turn the rudder to the left. Turn the rudder to the right. Bail water here and bail water there and run the sail up this higher. Take it down this far. Turn to the north or turn into the storm or turn away from the storm or drop the anchor. And everybody's got something they want to tell you to do when you're in the storm. Do this, do that. Up, down, left, right, back, forward. What do I do during the storm? And so what we want to do is we want to look at the storm and we want to fix it. And that's what the disciples were trying to do. And I can't imagine, because listen, I kind of have a second eye for things. Like when things are happening and excitement's taking place or you know, an emergency's going on, I've kind of had an eye to look around and kind of see who's doing what or who's not doing what. And, you know, if you and I walk off this church step after church and we get in that parking lot out there and I get jumped by a gang, I can promise you this, if I'm bleeding, I need to look over and see that you're bleeding too. This thing better not get over with and I'm skint from head to toe and you're standing there just watching. You better be doing something, buddy. Are you with me? So these disciples are trying to fix the storm. And they must occasionally peer over and look, and what do they see? They see Jesus is asleep. He's not doing anything. But if you're his disciple and he has said, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side, isn't our Lord supposed to be doing something to help his children? Isn't that just what God does? Because he's this teddy bear in heaven who just drops little Hershey kisses all around us at night when we sleep. And in the morning, you know, he tickles us and makes us giggle and smile every day. Isn't that what he's supposed to do? But here in the storm of their life, for their life, they look over and he's asleep doing nothing. So they're trying to fix it. 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 But I want you to know something right now. Listen to me. And you can write this down. It's not your job to fix the storm. It's bad enough that storms happen. But often when they happen, it's when we're already tired. So listen, the U.S. military figured this out years and years ago. That's why some of the toughest schools in the military, the toughest schools in the Army,
the first thing they're going to do is they're going to sleep deprive you. I've been so sleep deprived before. I was in formation. We were making a nighttime movement one time. And I saw a guy leaned up against a tree, and I thought that he was about to be left behind as we made this nighttime movement. And so as a team leader, I eased over to the guy and I tapped him and I said, "Hey man," I said, "fall in line here." I said, "We're making this movement. The last guy's about to pass you by. You don't want to get left behind." Only to realize just a few moments later that I was talking to a bush. I was so sleep deprived. You start hallucinating and seeing things. And the military figured that out a long time ago. You want to test somebody? You really want to test somebody, break somebody? Sleep deprive them for days on end. The devil knew that a long, long time before the U.S. government figured it out. And so when storms come, it's often when we're already physically exhausted. And then the storm comes and we really don't have no strength mentally or emotionally or physically to fight that storm. But nevertheless, we do what we do as independent created beings. We're going to try to fight it and we're going to try to fix it. Instead of just going with it, we just fight it and want to fix it, fight it, want to fix it, fight it, want to fix it, only to find we only exhaust ourselves further. Are you with me today? And so I want you to understand that it's not your job to fix the storm. So what did the disciples do in this text as we read here? Well, they did bail water. They did try to save the ship. They tried to do everything they could do to save their own life because, listen to me, this was a battle for their life. You understand that? And so some of you are in a battle right now, or you've been in the battle, or you've been through a battle, and well, I know you can't lose your salvation once you're saved. I understand that. I believe that 100%. I believe in eternal security. I get it, but just let me use the phrase, you're in a battle for your very soul. This storm is so big. It's not your job to fix it, but here's what your job is. Your job is just to stand steadfast in the storm. And see, that's why Paul in Ephesians 6, this is the soldier's handbook, the Christian soldier's handbook, Ephesians 6. He goes through all of these pieces of armament. He goes through all of these offensive and defensive weapons that a believer is to equip himself with. And oftentimes we get focused preaching and teaching on those pieces of armament. But there's a prevalent theme that is all throughout Ephesians 6. And it's this theme here. Watch. He says, "I want you to stand. I want you to stand. As you face the battle, I want you to be armed, but I want you to stand. As you face the heat and the intensity of the conflict, I want you to be equipped, but I want you to stand." And at the end of it, he says, "Having done all, to stand." And so what he is saying is this. Listen, you don't have to have all the best battle gear. You don't have to have the biggest rifle, the biggest weapon, to be the quickest shooter, the best shooter. You don't have to be all those things. Be equipped, be armed. But above all else, I just want you to stand. And that's why the Lord told his people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So what the Lord is really wanting is this. He's just wanting us to be steadfast in the storm. To just not buckle and to not move. That though, listen, we'd look around and we see the master sleeping. Why is he not doing something? Wake him up. Get up. We're about to drown and die. Listen, while that's what we see, that's what we observe, we're still supposed to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand, and having done all, to stand and be steadfast. So we don't get to choose the storms. It's not our task to fix the storms. It's our task just to stand and be steadfast. Now listen, I want you to notice in this text, The Lord says this, and this has been preached and sung about. Now it came to pass. Now it came to pass, the Bible says. I want you to notice one thing. Every time that is used in God's word, what happens is this. It's used in the old, it's used in the new. Is that whatever the passage of Scripture begins to tell about, it eventually passes. And it came to pass. I'm not a meteorologist, but I can declare something about meteorology with absolute truth and scientific fact. There has never, since the world was created, been a storm that has lasted forever. Every storm that has ever brewed, whether it be a Eurocladon, a hurricane, a tornado, a thunderstorm, an ice storm, a hail storm, a lightning storm, and anything else that may last in between all of those. There's never been a storm in the history of the world that lasted forever. But they all come, sometimes unexpected, sometimes without warning, without preparation. They come, they hit, they hurt, they may have killed, but then they passed and they were over with. And it came to pass. So number three or number four, wherever we're at, you need to write this down. This will pass. Thus says the Lord. And remember that little phrase where Jesus says, come on, come on, come on. Come on, little children. Come on, disciples. Get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We're going out on Sea of Galilee. Let's go. Load up, load up, load up. Push off. Let's go. Now let's sail. We're going to the other side. He goes and lays down and sleeps because he's tired and weary. The disciples try to fight and battle the winds and the waves. They think they're about to die. They're in the storm of their life. It's tearing them apart. And all the while, they're trying to fix it and fix it and fix it and fix it instead of remembering the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was this. We're going to the other side. I wonder how the story would be rewritten today had the disciples remembered. Hey, wait just a minute. Wait. Stop bailing water just for a minute. Stop putting the sail up or taking it down, turning the rudder to the left or the right, going forward, going backward, dropping the anchor, pitching water from the front of the boat, the back of the boat, throwing off cargo. Wait a minute. Stop just a minute. Stop all that. Wait. Does anybody remember that the Master said, we're going to go to the other side? Listen to me. I want to tell you something. Listen. If this is you, you can mark my word based on the authority of God's word. That if the Lord says, I'm going through with you to the other side, then you can guarantee that somewhere, sometime, this storm will end and you'll be on the other side. And you'll step out on dry ground. That's God's word. That's not points in a sermon. That's not something preacherly to say. That's the Word of God. I feel like I do need to share this with you too, though. I think you need to realize and understand that the proportion of this storm that you're going through, the size of this storm that you're battling, you don't see it now. I've not seen it when I was in the storm. But it's an indicator to me, a very clear indicator, that God's got an assignment for you to do. You hear that? You're in a storm because God has an assignment for you to do. See, I don't know what all was going on in the lives of the disciples, but I know this. He was about to leave them. They were about to see him crucified and buried.
And you want to talk about a time when hope was gone in their hearts. They were about to face all of that. And he knew that they needed preparation and that they needed training in the process. I don't know why all he allowed this storm here. But I do know that he had an assignment, a future assignment for them. And that's why that they were going through the storm they were in, because God was not done with them. So you need to write this down. I'm not going to die in this storm. Why? Because God's got an assignment for you. It's bigger than where you've been. It's bigger than where you've imagined. It's more than you ever asked for. You're not going to have to be qualified for it in the eyes of man. You're not going to have a certain resume to be able to step into this assignment. But you're just going to have to, in the storm, stop trying to fix it and just be steadfast and know that when God says we're going to the other side, that this too will pass and this storm will not kill you. I don't say that so easily or lightly this morning. I don't say that so easily or lightly and just pat you on the back and say, well, I'll be praying for you, dear sister. I'll be praying for you, brother. You'll get through this. And on I go to the next congregate to shake their hand. I don't say it lightly. What I do know is that I know that you're dying right now. That's what I know. I know that you're hurting worse than you've ever hurt in your lifetime. That's what I know. I know that when I stand up here and tell you, you're not going to die in the middle of this. He's going to see you through. I know that you have already in your heart and in your mind felt like you've died in the middle of this. I know these things. You know how I know these things? Because I didn't get to pick my storms either. Because the Lord didn't give me advance notice and let me know, hey, one day you're going to be in storms and you're going to be hurting and you're going to be dying on the inside. And while you're doing that, you're going to have to stand before a couple hundred people and let them know that they're going to be okay, that there's hope in the Lord. So I know how real it is. I make not light of where you're at. I know how deep the pain is, how big the hurt is, and how real the storm is. I hope you're with me this morning. We don't pick our storms. We can't fix our storms. We're simply supposed to stand fast in our storms. David, as a little youth, the Bible says he was a ruddy. The King James says he was just a ruddy little boy. He was chosen by God, called by God, just as a youth. Samuel anointed him. But after that anointing, which meant God had a plan for him, he was going to have to face a giant in his lifetime. In the very next chapter, chapter 17, he faces that giant. We make the story of David and Goliath a cutesy-putesy little story. We sing little kids' songs in Sunday school. Oh, how cute. And we teach it in Bible school, and it's so cute. But I want you to understand, this was warfare. This was a battle. There's nothing cute about it. And David had to go, and he walked out on the battlefield where other men wouldn't stand. But he said, hey, the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. And I don't need your armor, Saul. I don't need your battle gear.
All I got to do is walk out onto that battlefield and stand. And I know I'm facing the giant. And the giant mocked him. And the giant told him, I'm going to eat you for breakfast, you fool. No one had stood against Goliath in his lifetime. But David knew his only job was to show up and stand. And he did that. But what happens next in David's life is very, very remarkable. Because this giant, it was actually a gateway into the plan that God had for David. From that moment on, it propelled him into the assignment that God had sent him on earth to do. So a storm just means to me, in fact, the larger the magnitude of the storm, it's an assurance to me that God has an assignment for your life. Hopi, let's do this. Can you play Just As I Am? Come do that for me. And just play it softly and slowly. And here's why. Listen to me. Listen. And here's why. We're not going to sing the words. I'm just going to let her play. Because I think one thing we need to do in our churches today is we need to take whatever the man of God brings in whatever church that they're in, and we need to come just as I am. So the reality is this. Yeah, there's some of you who've just come out of a storm or you've been through that storm in your lifetime. And, well, really, listen, we shouldn't be able to make you sit down or shut up or be quiet. You ought to thank God after having come through what you've come through that He's delivered you. You ought to praise Him. For those of you who are about to go into one, well, I can't prepare you for it. I only pray you've taken notes and taken it to heart. But for those of you here today that's in one, and you know exactly what those disciples were experiencing, it took them by surprise. I mean, they were having good days. They were following the Master, working miracles, preaching sermons, seeing crowds gathered. And what do you do when there's no crowd? What do you do when the Master's unresponsive? And what do you do when you're fighting for your life trying to fix it? And you can't fix it. Well, you're just supposed to stand. You're just supposed to stand. And so it'd be a good thing this morning if we could just be so real and say, okay, Lord, just as I am, here I am. Here I am fighting for my life. Here I am hurting so bad. Here I am. Though the preacher's saying I ain't going to die and it ain't over, I feel like I've already died. I'll never be the same the rest of my life. But you need to hear me. It's going to pass. He didn't save you to let you die in the wilderness. He didn't save you to let you get sucked up in the storm. He didn't save you to let life be over at this point in your life. In fact, He didn't bring you here so you could die in a storm. He brought you here this morning to Luke chapter 8 so you could find hope in what the Lord has spoken, that we're going to the other side. You're going to get out of this. You may not know the where, though you want to know. You may not know the when, though you want to know because you're a fixer. And you may not know the how. But all you need to know is because of what Jesus says, there will be a place, a when, a how, and a where that this thing's going to be over with. So if that's you this morning, well, just as you are in the midst of a train wreck of a storm, why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, I'm crawling my way to this altar and I can't do nothing else. All hope is gone within me, but I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to hang on. Because you have said, I won't die here. You have said, we're going to the other side. You have said, this storm will pass. And Lord, just know this.
that by what little faith I can muster in me today, I'm hanging on with fingernails and by my teeth, and I'm putting my trust in you. So when I ask you to stand, if you could crawl your way to this altar, if you could run your way to this altar just as you are and give yourself to Him. And don't focus on the storm. You can't fix it. But focus on the Master and His words. Won't you stand and won't you come? Just as I am.